¿Qué tal, mi gente? Bienvenido al Hangueo. Welcome to the Hangout with your host, Jonathan Mejia. You guys know me. I'm out in the streets, news, reporting about everything going on in Houston and the surrounding areas. But this space is my space. It's the Hangueo. It's the Hangout where we get to talk to you and bring you these inspiring stories from Houston, Hispanic and Latino inspiring stories. And today I'm with La Mera Mera, the main one, Miss Gracie Chavez.
Hola, hola.
¿Qué tal? ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, muchas gracias.
Gracie, I loved your story once I, you know, learned more about you. I think you are an amazing, inspiring woman here in Houston, and you're doing great things in the music industry. So talk to us about, you know, how that's been like for you.
Do you want me to take it back to the beginning or what, like, things are just, because there's a lot going on right now, especially in Houston that's tied to me and Bonbon and just, like, a lot of exciting things coming up.
So let's start with you, right?
Okay.
From Brownsville, La Frontera, ¿qué tal? How was that like living in, you know, a border town?
I never lived there.
Interesting.
I did not live there. Yeah, like I mentioned, my mom was pregnant with me. My grandmother had just passed away. And so I was born there. My sister was born maybe a year and a half later. And then we moved back to Houston. So I don't have any core memories of the border other than visiting like my family, you know, in the summers, mi abuelita. And so, yeah.
All right. So growing up in the 713, what was that like?
I can tell you as a firstborn, first generation, I mean, there was a lot of assimilating. So like, you know, learning English quickly, you know, understanding, you know, where things were. I grew up in the north side near the Kashmir Gardens area. So already that was like a mix of like cultures there. And the school I went to, elementary school, was predominantly African-American. And so that's what my formative years were, listening to a lot of like funk and hip hop, you know, that was like coming up. I'd listen to the radio quite a bit. My dad was a huge record collector. Entonces ahí va. You know, that's where it all kind of started. He has a pretty broad, you know, taste in music, but back then it was a lot of disco, the Bee Gees, what else? Los Angeles Negros, just things like that. And also, more importantly, and this is a tie-in, is Cumbia Tropical, you know, with Rigo Tovar and just like all of those artists. So I grew up listening to a lot of his records, went to Memo's record shop or store on Irvington, like on Saturday mornings. I was really, really immersed in like music. And as one would imagine, like, we didn't have a lot of means, so I would have loved to have, like, learned an instrument, but the closest thing I had to that was records, music, and the radio.
Wow, so your childhood learning, you know, so much, you get a diverse in terms of music taste. Mm-hmm. How did that influence, you know, what you play and what you became?
Interesting, yeah. I didn't think about it as it was happening, cuando se estaba desarrollando todo. Pero ya después de tantos años, o sea, lo veo más claro. I was obviously like at the cusp of like hip hop being introduced here in Houston on KYOK, AM radio. A lot of my friends, you know, going to dances and social, like, you know, things when you're in like in elementary school and middle school. I think I did the most discovering different genres of music on my own. We didn't have the internet, right? So a lot of it was reading like liner notes and figuring out what artists they collaborated with, maybe another like a record label, and then you'd find that. But as maybe you might have experienced this, you always consider your parents' music your parents' music. And you're like, no, esos son de ellos. Es la música de ellos, you know? And so even though, you know, fast forward, I got my start, you know, DJing, playing more like house music. It wasn't until much, much later that I heard an acordeón in a sample of a house-like song from the West Coast that felt like home. And that was like my full circle moment.
And did you ever think that that would have a space in today's music?
No, I didn't. Because when you said maybe 15, 20 years ago, hey, let's go to a Latin night, what that really meant was like going to a salsa night.
Salsa, bachata.
Yep. Yeah. And so as someone that kind of didn't grow up listening to a lot of salsa, you know, and grew up at this point listening to more, you know, hip hop, Houston rap, you know, dancehall, reggae, you know, lo que sea. I was like very curious kid, you know? And so when you said, you know, Latin night, it was salsa. And so already it felt exclusive. And even if you did decide to go, there was a cover and there was a dress code. And then once you got in, you almost had to be damn perfect, you know, at dancing salsa or bachata, even though bachata is a lot easier, right? I mean, now I know, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, and I would say that after the death of Selena, I felt like cumbia was a little dormant, you know, at least around these parts. And so for us, and this was like right up to, I think this was around 2010, there was a lot of cumbia digital coming out of like South America con CSEC Records, out of Argentina. Diplo had done some like mixtape where he, you know, went down and he did something with, gosh, I forgot the name of the DJ, but he explored a lot of like, you know, cumbia music coming out of like that region. And what they'd done is they'd taken traditional like cumbia music, you know, mostly like Colombiana, you know, and like really made it club ready, you know. And for me and maybe a couple of like my fellow DJ friends, one of which OG Bobby Trill had just gotten back from Monterrey. He was teaching English, I think, out there. He came back with like all this banda music and this and that. And just as you would like when you have like trading cards, it's like, what do you have? What do you have? And so it was like this one-upmanship, like showing each other, but you know, very friendly, competitive kind of way, right? Showing each other like the new music that we'd found. But even though we were established DJs at that point, there really wasn't a space for it. And so my Saturday night gigs, what I would do is, ya casi a las dos de la noche, o de la mañana,
sí.
I would play like a cumbia remix, right?
And by that time, everyone's drinking. Yes. They don't care what's playing.
Yes. But I had a strategy, right? I had a strategy. Okay, I'm going to hit them with this, and then I'll play something a little like left field, and then see the reaction, and then have something ready to get out of it just in case. But if they seem to be enjoying it, you know, I'd play maybe another one. Yeah, you know, just keep it moving, right? So the idea was, well, what if we had a night where it was like all really cumbia inspired, you know, Latin inspired, but it's not salsa, where we can play that with like some Houston rap, some dancehall. And the name really did kind of come together fairly quickly because one of our fellow DJs out on the West Coast, they were doing an event series called Tormenta Tropical.
Wow.
Over in San Francisco, right? And he had done a remix of Bombón Asesino, but he did it in a way, and I'll have to share it with you. The way it sounds, it's like Sister Nancy dance hall sort of vibes, you know, the very like Caribbean sort of flavor to it. And that's where I got the name. That specific like remix, you know, because that's the vibe I think we wanted to create in that space. So going back to like that Latin, that salsa night, we wanted to create the opposite, which was something we felt was more proletariat, more like inclusive, not exclusive, no dress code, no cover. Pretty soon we kind of outgrew our first space, I would say within 5 months. And we went from a 50 capacity, like little space, into like a 500, like capacity space. And then we started adding, this is like the beginnings of Bombón, you know, and which was an event series, right? Heavily influenced by hip hop. Are you familiar with like turntablists?
Yes.
Okay. So that's how we would set up. There was like 6 turntables and we would play como, you know, like orchestrated together. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so then we added La Comadre. She was our host, right?
Yeah.
And then Ilya also came on board. He was our percussionist. He plays the djembe.
Yeah.
And if folks don't know, the djembe is like, it's not a stationary drum. It's a West African drum. And so we purposely wanted to break down that fourth wall and bring people in. It's not like a concert where you just go and you watch people. So we really like brought him in, and it was like this, ¿cómo te digo que? Sin diseño. O sea, como que pasó así organically. Pero con corazón. Sí. And like, it just felt right. And then all of a sudden, we started seeing all of our other homies from like other, like my house scene, the hip hop scene, coming in to check it out, doing like cameos, getting on the mic. And so fast forward in that search for, you know, new music that kind of resonated, because aquí in Houston, it's like a melting pot. You know?
Very diverse.
Oh, and I feel like I have to tell you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I remember one time, it was like probably within our first 5 years, we're in the middle of Bonbon. I mean, it was like a full house. Someone came up and said, "Hey, can you play some punta?" And I turned to like my bandmates and I said, "What the f- is that?"
And for those who don't know, punta is native music to Hondurans, the Garifuna culture. Yes. As I guess you guys don't know. But anyways, Honduras has 9 ethnic groups. Yeah. So you have diverse music and taste and a little bit of everything. But one of the 9 ethnic groups is Garifunas, and that's where the punta originates. And it's very, very good music. And I'm not saying it because I'm Honduran, but it's good music. Yeah. It makes you want to move.
And it reminded me of soca and, you know, that kind of like upbeat, you know, music. But I had, when I was embarrassed that I didn't know. So, went home and like did some research, listened to more music. So it ended up becoming like a space for even like educating ourselves, not just on music, but like more culture, you know? And we started seeing more folks from the West Indies showing up. We started seeing more folks from like South America, Central America. I mean, it was like beyond my, like, you know, Mexican-American, Chicano, like, you know, urban experience. I mean, this really sort of expanded my worldview of, like, Latin culture, really.
And I think that's what is so beautiful about Hispanic and Latinos is that it's very diverse, culturally diverse. I grew up in Boston to Honduran parents. I was born and raised in Boston, but, you know, my neighbors were Dominican. My neighbors were Puerto Rican. So I had that Caribbean influence. And when you talk about reggae, soca, I love that music, right? But as I moved through my career, I lived in New York, I lived in Miami, and most recently I lived in El Paso, Texas.
Yeah.
And there was very Mexican-American, so I listened to more cumbia, and I loved it.
Okay. Was that the first time you'd kind of experienced
cumbia? You know, I heard cumbia, but being there was like, I have Juarez on the other side, and like, it was very present. So, I learned to like it, and it was really nice. And I think that's the beauty of music and what you do. So talk to us about, you know, you had all this diverse experiences and you put it together with Bonbon. Mm-hmm. Talk about creating that group.
Well, I mentioned, you know, some of the origins of, you know, the back and forth, the competitiveness. One of our mutual friends, Alex, who's also like the other founding member, approached us and said, "Hey, let's really put this together." And I remember thinking to myself, I almost said no, you know, but I figured, hey, let's give it a shot. And like I mentioned, you know, within 5 months, it had just blossomed. And I think back and I remember hearing folks saying that they couldn't explain what the night was like or felt like. And the best explanation was like, it's better than your sister's quinceañera. Just come, right? And with me and Bobby, we were already established DJs in the city. So that was already a buy-in, you know? And we just sort of built it out from there. And I think the great thing is connecting with, like, not only other like-minded, like, musicians and DJs in the United States, but we started bringing in people from outside, like international acts. We brought in Mexican Institute of Sound, partnered with Red Bull at the time for that. So it really moved fairly quickly. And again, I just felt like it was organic. It wasn't by design. Everything just really came together like fairly easily. And then todos los integrantes, you know, started coming on board, and we've expanded like the team, you know, beyond just DJs. We're really more of a music collective. We have like creatives on our team. We have producers, like a stable of producers. And so around 2018, we just really got tired of looking for, you know, the music that we wanted to present. So we launched a label. And so that has been a labor of love también, just like connecting like musicians with like producers and vocalists and, you know, and so now you see like the arc as we get into like the music, the Sonic ID project.
Which is awesome. Yeah. It's so amazing just to hear how, you know, your career just progressed and grew. And we are in Houston, which is a great city, a lot of opportunity. Talk to us about what it was like. Did you ever think that you would get to work at a major sport event like the Super Bowl?
No. No. And I want to say that, you know, all the while up until like maybe Bon Bon really took off, I had a 9-to-5. I was doing the Clark Kent thing. You know what I mean? Most people knew that I was like, you know, DJing here and there, making some remixes and things like that. But really, when Bon Bon took off, I just said, sorry, guys. I mean, aquí voy, you know? And I just, like, left that behind. And so that was, like, a really big blessing, you know, because I really was able to pull everything from my wheelhouse. The work that I was doing, that 9-to-5, was working at an ad agency. So using all of that, you know, best practices, you know, for like this purpose was like magic to me, you know?
That's awesome. So Super Bowl, check. Mm-hmm. Now the next big thing, World Cup 2026 here in Houston. And Bon Bon was the one who created the Sonic ID. Uh-huh. So talk to us about landing that project and how validating it was for you and your group.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great way to put it. I say last summer, they were they had a short list of producers they were looking at that would represent Houston, and I would say it's the folks that you would your usual suspects, right? And so I think that the decision to go with us really came because of our diversity, and because we're such an international city. Just by representation, our group alone, we have so many, like, we have the Latin diaspora in our crew.
Literally, literally.
Yeah. And so, and then our music just felt so much more global, you know? And so working with their, with the FIFA team out in Switzerland, those mornings were early and brutal, those meetings, the time for that. But we worked through some ideas, and we wanted to really, tell a story. Okay, so I'm not sure if you've heard the song, but we wanted to kind of dispel the idea that there's just a bunch of cowboy hats, cowboys and horses like around, you know, Houston, because we're a little more nuanced than that, right?
Right.
And so when you hear the song that we did for FIFA, you do hear that the Texas blues influence from, like, for example, Lightnin' Hopkins, who is from Houston. Who kind of, like, there would be no Stevie Ray Vaughan without him, right? And so that was sort of our tip of the hat, pun intended, right? to say, welcome to Texas, right? But when you kind of, you know, as the song keeps going, you know, you start to hear some of that Chopped and Screwed sort of influence. And something that we've really amplified over the years is chopping and screwing cumbia. So we call it scrumbia. And so you'll hear some of that in there. And then a lot of, like, our vocalist, you know, Buckamore is also featured on this, and it makes it feel welcoming. The last part of the song is, like, this big orchestra swell, right? And the way I kind of see it is, like, it's our love letter to the world, like welcoming folks in, you know? So it kind of ties everything, the local to global ties are palpable here. So I feel like the song really kind of represents that.
That's awesome. And Gracie, when we talk about, you know, just your life, your career, what advice do you have for, you know, anyone who wants to get into the music industry, but specifically, you know, young girls? Because it's a male, you know, dominant industry, mm-hmm. and yet you've been able to break barriers and do it at such a huge stage.
I think that it really starts, and this is one of the reasons why I lent a lot of my time, almost, 10, 12 years at Girls Rock Camp. It's a local nonprofit here in Houston, and there's a whole franchise, I guess I could say, across the country that's not so much about building the next pop group with girls, but really empowering girls through music. I think that I wish that I would have had more of that when I was growing up. But to kind of answer your question a little more succinctly, I would say, and I've said this before, so excuse me, but basically, I mean, just give it a shot. It's like that metaphor. It's like you make zero shots you make zero shots of like whatever.
You miss 100% of the shots, yes, that you don't take.
Thank you. Yes, that. And so, having no regrets. I mean, having at least, given it a chance. Later in life, I've learned how valuable my failures have been, if that makes any sense. Because if you're not learning from those, then what are you doing?
Right.
You know what I mean? So just not being afraid to fail, you know?
Gracie, you're la mera mera. You have your own dedicated day in Houston.
No, I don't. Bonbon. Oh, Bonbon does.
Yes.
Bonbon does, yes.
But you're a part of that, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, November 3rd, and we are celebrating our 15th anniversary.
I know, La Quinceañera. You said you guys are going to do it big.
Yes, and so we've recently partnered with Carbach. And so we are going to celebrate our 15 years. We're looking forward to having our own signature beer, finally.
Hey, we need a taste testing exclusively for El Hangueo, okay?
I totally agree. You don't understand how excited I am. And I'm not a huge beer drinker, but so excited about that. And really excited about celebrating with my bandmates, of course. But just everybody that's like, come out and made like Bonbon. There were so many people that met, got married, had kids, started families, after going to all of our Bonbon events. So this is a great way to kind of like make it multi-generational. Come out to Carbach. I think it's September 13th. Looking forward to kind of like doing that. And as we lead into like FIFA World Cup, there's going to be many more activations that we're going to be part of. So really, really excited to kind of see who does, come to Houston. I need to get a crash course in soccer.
Well, we have Houston Soccer HQ, which is a show that streams here on Fox Local.
Okay.
Myself, Carolina Sanchez, Anthony Antoine, they're on it. So it's a plug to watch the show where we break things down. We're not soccer experts, but we're fans, right?
Okay.
So we have a little bit of everything on that show that streams right here on Fox Local. So tune into that.
Okay.
And it airs live every Wednesday.
Really?
And we want to have you on as a live guest. So.
Okay. Yeah. So
hey.
Practice your Spanish, Gracie.
Right? But lastly, when you take a look back and you see everything that's developing for you, for Bonbon, mm-hmm. In your wildest dream, did you ever think that that's what it would have come to?
No. And I think that obviously the pandemic played like a big role in, it was a big speed bump, right? So I did have a wobble thinking like, okay, well, is this kind of where we tie up the bow and call it a day? And when you think that that's all you've given and that's where it goes, you get other opportunities that I never imagined. And while I am very proud of all the work that I've done with Bonbon, it's the work as a former music officer for the city of Houston that I felt like is probably my proudest achievement. Yeah.
That's awesome. So never give up.
Mm-hmm.
Never give up and never stop. Well, this is it for this episode of El Jangueo with Jonathan Mejia. You can stream it for free on Fox Local, free app for your smart TV and your phone. And we have much more inspiring stories like Gracie here that will be streaming on this show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jonathan.